Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Be sure to read through all the announcements. There are a number of different things that are at the back of the bulletin that you may be interested in. Just a couple of things to highlight. One, today there's a couple of things going on this afternoon. We do have confirmation class today. But then at 3 o'clock is also the Yorktown Manor Nursing Home service. And if anybody wants to go out there and worship with residents and then also visit with them a little bit, you're always welcome to take part in that, and that's 3 o'clock. But then at 4 o'clock, we have Christmas caroling. A group is going Christmas caroling, so if you would like to go, please be here in the parking lot at 4 o'clock. Okay, Kim, you got an announcement?
On the caroling, be here at 3:30, 3:45. We're going to leave at 4. So we're going to roll out at 4 o'clock sharp. We're also going to be doing a spaghetti supper fundraiser for the kids for camp February the 16th. So all the youth see me or Miss Lori today during the Sunday school hour or before or after so we can get you your tickets. They're going to be $10 a plate. We're going to use that money to help offset the cost for camp for the kids. So anybody that's going to camp or is of camp age that wants to help support and sell tickets, please see us today after Sunday school. And then today is the last Sunday school of the year, so please come down there. We're also, if you're going to the caroling, we ask that you bring a soup to share with the congregation and the kids. So if you're coming caroling, please bring a soup. You don't have to, but it just helps to feed everybody. So if y'all have any questions about the spaghetti supper, check your bulletins. We're going to have more information in that to come.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Kim. Any other announcements? Anybody else? If not, then I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, Comfort, Comfort Now My People.
Comfort, comfort, now my people.
begin this service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is he who comes as King, who comes in the name of the Lord.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
I will hear what the Lord God has to say.
A voice that speaks for peace.
Peace for all people and for his friends.
And those who turn to him in their hearts.
His help is near for those who fear him.
And his glory will live in our land.
Blessed is he who comes as King, who comes in the name of the Lord.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave me of my
sin. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you, and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them and repent of them, and pray for your boundless mercy for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Forgive my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's prayer.
All right, come on. We got a sea of bread to navigate today. But that's wonderful. They're beautiful plants. Come on up. We've been talking about our Advent wreath, and we've got one more thing to add to your wreath today. So come on up, have a seat, maybe on the floor so you don't bother the plants there. We may have to do that today. Good morning. So we've been talking about our Advent wreath, right? And Pastor Wickner and his idea to help his kids do what? You remember? What was the purpose that Pastor started all of this for? Do you remember? Are you counting down the days to Christmas? Ah, there's one. See, that's what was happening. He was having trouble with his class because they wanted to know every day. It's kind of like going on a trip. When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? It was kind of what was going on with his class. They were going, when is Christmas coming? When is Jesus going to be born? And so he brought out what to help him help his class? Do you remember what the very first thing was? What? A wheel, right? The wagon wheel or cart wheel, because that's what he had available to him. And he said, that was great because it reminds us that we're going on a journey. It reminds me of the world because it's round. And it's a beginning of a journey and end of a journey. But with Jesus, that journey doesn't end. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And for us, it means that we go to Christmas, but there's something else after that. We keep going round and round and round. And also, because he came and died on the cross and rose again, our journey continues as we go to the end, maybe, of our life, we think, but then we go to be with him and his Father in heaven. But that wasn't enough. We needed to decorate it. Remember what you got last week? What'd you get last week? Evergreen, right, the evergreen to go around it. Okay, and I'm asking your parents to help a little bit by putting that around it. And that brings us to today. So now we've got the circle, we've got the evergreen, and sometimes too, I wanted to point out too, sometimes it's not just a green, sometimes it may be like holly. And holly's kind of interesting too. We've got holly on our Advent wreath down in the Sunday school. It's got spiky leaves that were like the horns that were around Jesus' head. And sometimes they'll have red berries to remind us of the blood that Jesus shed for us. But now he said we need something still to help the kids because they want to know every day, so I need to do something. So guess what he did? He put candles on it. We have four. He had 24. One for every day. Can you imagine that? A candle all the way around there. Now, he did do one thing. For the weekdays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he used red candles. Ah, red poinsettias. But for the Sundays, he used white. So that way they could keep count of how many weeks they'd gone by. Eventually, it got to be a lot, so they took it back down to four. Okay? Because the other thing that happened is schools kind of went out of the churches into other schools, and so consequently, they weren't there every day. Now, it's kind of changed over the years. As you can see, they're not white anymore, are they? We have blue or purple, and also there's this pink one here. That pink one's kind of interesting. I'm going to teach you a different language today, a word in a different language. It's Latin. Because that candle in particular, sometimes they have names, sometimes they don't. But the reason for the pink is for this Latin word, which means gaudete. Gaudete means rejoice or joy. Now, why do you think that one is called joy and rejoice? How many Sundays in Advent? How many Sundays? Four. Big candle we'll talk about next week. Four candles. This one is the one we light today because it's over halfway there. We're almost there. There's only one left. And so it's a happy time. It's a joyous time. That's why they named it Gaudete. Rejoice. You're almost there. And also, there's four candles because remember that circle? Have you ever seen a compass? What are the four biggest directions on that compass? North, east, south, and west. Guess what? North, east, south, and west. And remember it was supposed to be the world? It means Jesus is coming for the whole world. The whole world is waiting for his coming. He's coming for the whole world. So guess what you get today? Candles. Exactly. You get the four candles. And there's even a pink one in there for Gaudete. Okay? So we're almost there. One more week before Christmas. And one more thing for your wreath. Okay? These have little spikes on them, so maybe they can be attached to your Advent wreath with some hot glue, or maybe there'll be a hole that your parents can drill in there and stick them in and attach it with your labradorite. Okay? And then next week we get to finish it off. But let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for coming for the whole world. For coming people in the east, the west, the south, and the north. And thank you for giving us the Advent wreath to remind us that you come for all and you come for us as well. And thank you for the joy candle as we are 1 week away from your coming. Help us to look forward to this week with joy and with anticipation. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Patrick has the candle bags for you. You get one bag and you got your four candles. And we're going to have Piper light the three candles, especially the Gaudete candle. That's all right. We'll get one. And I do have some evergreens left. I can get those for you. Have a good week. And we're going to sing while the candles are lit.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you once called John the Baptist to give witness to the coming of your Son and to prepare his way. Grant us, your people, the wisdom to see your purpose today and the openness to hear your will, that we may witness to Christ's coming and so prepare his way. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson today is a reading from Zephaniah chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Isaiah chapter 12 in response. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid.
The Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation.
With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted.
Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let us sing known in all the earth.
Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The second lesson is a reading from Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, Teacher, what should we do? He said to them, Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you. Soldiers also asked him, And we, what should we do? He said to them, Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know many of you like to read books. I like to read too, and I read a smattering of a number of different things. Sometimes it may be history. Sometimes it may be a theology book or something about what's going on in the world, political book or something. But so every once in a while, I do like nonfiction. I'll pick up whatever's out there sometimes. And then every once in a while, it will be a mystery novel, a whodunit kind of novel. And it's always interesting to read through those because if it's well written, you go down one chapter and it looks like it's pointing to this one, whodunit. Or you go down the next chapter and it looks like it's going this way. You get chasing down different rabbit trails trying to figure out who actually committed the crime. And then at the end, there's always a surprise. And as you think about it, as you read that last chapter, oh yeah, all those clues did point to this person as the culprit. Now, I've known some people who pick up books like that, and what they'll do is they'll go to the last chapter and read that first. It kind of drives me nuts, but at the same time then, they say, well, you know, I don't get chasing off on all these other side trails. You know, I know exactly what's going to happen, so I can stay focused on the story of what is going on and pick up on those clues. Our readings for today are kind of like the person who goes to the end of the story and reads the end. Because in each of these lessons, the prophets that are speaking know the end already. God has given them the message, and they're bringing the message to the people. They know the end. In our first lesson today from Zephaniah, Zephaniah says, Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and you shall fear disaster no more. It looks like that was a happy time. Looks like everything was going well, that, you know, that this is the end. Well, and that's what Zephaniah is saying. It is the end. This is what's going to happen. But actually, in reality, of what was happening when Zephaniah was prophesying all this was not so good. The Assyrians were the big dogs on the block back then. They were the powerhouse. They were the conquerors of much of the surrounding area. The northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen, and Judah would be next. The king of Judah at this point was ruling only by permission of the king of Assyria. And things were precarious, and things were not going well in Judah. Many people were worshiping false gods. There was child sacrifice. There was worship of astral deities. There was witchcraft being practiced. In the marketplaces, there were a lot of scams and scandals and cheating each other. And the remnant, those who were still faithful to God, were treated very unjustly. And so things were not looking good at all. And here comes along Zephaniah, and he tells the people the end. He is telling them, have hope, rejoice, because as you live your life today with all these things going on, with all these threats, with all this injustice, with all this stuff going on, God will still be victorious. You know the end. In our second lesson for today, St. Paul's writing to the Philippians, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And then verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The early church, too, in many places at different times were under persecution. Paul himself underwent quite a bit of persecution. A lot of times when Paul came into a town, he would go into the marketplace. Maybe he would set up his own booth because he was a tent maker. And then he would start to talk to people about Jesus. And a lot of times then he would actually get up and he would make speeches about who Jesus is and what he's all about. And in the pagan areas or in the Jewish areas, wherever he happened to be speaking, a lot of times people were antagonistic against him. This was something strange. This was something different. This was something foreign. Paul was not accepted. A number of times he was arrested. He was thrown into prison. He was beaten and tortured or chained up in shackles. Paul did not have it easy. A lot of times he was hurt. He was injured. He had to be healed up. He had to take time off just to heal from all the beatings that he had taken. And here he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul knows the ending. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the story of Jesus, that he himself, Paul, as Saul, was a persecutor of the Christians until he met Jesus. And he knows full well in his heart what Jesus is capable of that mercy, that salvation, that grace that God imparts. Paul knows the end of the story, that Christ will come again, and all these persecutions, all these troubles that the Christians are going through, and that he himself is going through, will come to an end, and there will be victory. And then in our gospel lesson today, John the Baptist, always loved John the Baptist. He seems like such a character. He preaches with such authority. And he doesn't mince any words here. He starts out, you brood of vipers. Calls them a bunch of snakes. But John knows the ending as well then too. He wants to get the people motivated to let them know that the Messiah is coming. This Messiah that had been waited for so long, for generations. Even past Zephaniah when he was prophesying that the Savior would come. And John knows that the Savior is here. He is coming. John knows the end, that he will come and redeem his people. And so he wants to get the people ready. He wants to get them prepared for this coming Savior. And Paul has a way of speaking, or John the Baptist has a way of speaking that really convinces people. And John doesn't leave us hanging. How are we supposed to get prepared? What are we supposed to do? The people were asking. And when the people asked, John said, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. In other words, treat each other as you want to be treated. Do what God had commanded in the first place through the Ten Commandments of treating one another with respect. Give. Look for the needs of other people and help fulfill those needs of what do they need in this life? What do they need to live? What kind of help does someone else need? Share that love. Share that love of God, that God has blessed you with what he has given you. Share that with others who don't have, who need, who are legitimately in need. And like I said, John had a way of speaking. He knew the end. He was convinced of what is going to happen, that Messiah is going to come.
that even the tax collectors, now the tax collectors are a breed of their own. The tax collectors were hated by the Jews because they were Jews, and they were looked at, upon as being traitors because they collected money for the conquerors, for Roman. And then the Romans just kind of treated them with disdain, that they're doing an ugly job, and as long as they do their job, we'll leave them alone. And then, so the tax collectors a lot of times would collect extra money for themselves, and many of them became very rich. So John was able to even cut to the hearts of the tax collectors. And they were saying, what should we do? And John just says, just simply do your job. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Collect no more than what you are assigned to collect. And again, I can imagine that, you know, John's causing a commotion out here in the wilderness. People want to check out what's going on. And again, John's not in the cities trying to drum up business. He is out there in the middle of the wilderness. People are coming out to him to hear his message, to hear, because they want to have the hope. They want to have that hope that the Messiah is coming. They want to know what John has to say. And so I can imagine the religious leaders or even the Roman authorities sent soldiers out there to check him out, make sure that this is not a revolutionary guy, that there is no insurrection starting up. But they also heard his message as well. And even the soldiers are asking, so what should we do? And basically, once again, John says, do your job. Do your job. Don't extort money from other people. Don't accuse them falsely. Just do your job. Do what you're supposed to do. Follow the Lord. John's telling all people to repent, to change your ways, to turn around. Be made clean in baptism. Be made new. Make yourself ready, for the King is coming. John knew the ending, that God was coming. We know the ending as well, too. We've heard the stories. I'm sure a lot of you could probably recite or at least tell the story, the birth story of that coming Messiah, about traveling to Bethlehem, finding no place to stay except the stable, of the angels out in the fields with the shepherds and the wise men coming later. We can tell that story. We know that story. We know the ending of that story of the Messiah coming. But we also know the other story, the story that Christ is coming again, that he will come again. And so we hear that same news from Zephaniah of rejoice, be glad, or of Paul of rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be in your hearts and your minds, are these words of John of repent, be ready, be prepared, make yourselves clean, for Christ is coming, and Christ is coming indeed. Even though we live in the midst of troubled times, you know, we suffer on our own from disease, from hurt, from pain, from other people, what they've done to us. We hurt because of what we have done. We feel that shame within ourselves. We hurt. We know this world is not perfect. And there is a lot of suffering. There is a lot of stress. There is a lot of pain. But we know the ending. We know that Christ is coming. And all this stuff in this world is simply temporary. We're just passing through. That in the end, Christ will be victorious. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. In this season of watching and waiting, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for God's presence. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy, righteousness, peace, and love you lavish upon us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for every moment of healing, forgiveness, and hope that happens in this sin-damaged and death-shadowed world. Thank you for your peace that passes human understanding and endures past human malice. Whatever our circumstances, give us hearts filled with lasting joy and imperishable hope. Give us grace to lead others to the joy of knowing Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. We remember before you those whom it is easy to ignore, prisoners, refugees, and people in mental institutions, nursing homes, or homeless shelters. Help us to shed the light of your love upon them and also the light of simple human kindness. Lord, in your mercy. Make the leaders of every nation acknowledge you and govern in obedience to your will. Let faithfulness spring up from every human heart and your righteousness look down from the sky. Strengthen, protect, and guide our military, first responders, and aid workers. Show them your steadfast love and direct their deeds in righteous pathways. Bring the blessing of peace to all of us, Lord, in your mercy. Help all who suffer to turn to the one who made the deaf hear and the blind see and the lame walk. We especially pray for Catherine Glore, Lynn McGurra, Beverly Bowles, Joan Gomert, and the families of Daniel Broderson and Betsy Schultz. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as we await the coming of your Son in glory, we also anticipate reunion with all of our beloved dead. Help us comfort all who grieve. Make us gentle, joyful, and steadfast in love. Bring us with all whom Jesus has redeemed into your everlasting home, where we shall rejoice in your goodness forever. Lord, in your mercy. For all these things, for all we lift before you in the silence of our hearts, and for everything that you know we need, we pray in the name and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and commend into your mighty and merciful hands. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Let us pray. O mighty one, you have done great things for us, and holy is your name. Bless all we offer you, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, that through us your grace and favor may be made known to all the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, for all is ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, "Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying."
Thank you.
as you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Amen.